Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Corey and Kevin Talk About Nothing. If you're tuning in for the first time,
I'm Corey.
I'm Kevin, and welcome to our podcast talk show.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Man, I'm slacking on the double hello here.
Oh, man.
It used to be the warm greeting. Now it's just abandoned. People are shivering in the cold.
My bad. Yeah. Hello, hello, guys. How are we doing?
Let's kick this beautiful podcast talk show off. We have kind of moved into like a more guided,
structure.
Structure, yeah. Like we kind of have a little bit of a different purpose that we're kind of throwing instead of and I don't want to get rid of the watching a movie. I'm not going to just strictly do indie here, but but we do have an extensive list that was thrown at us. I made a list. It's on our drive. It's so
sweet.
So we checked two off this week. These last 2 weeks. So in this podcast, we are going to be talking about Stranger Things season 4, part 1.
Part 1, yes.
Netflix, dun dun. And then there we'll be talking about a movie called Corpse and a movie called Blue Moon. And you can check those movies out. We'll have them in the description below. And those movies are on YouTube. They've been graciously given to us by the filmmakers themselves, promoting their products and letting us know, hey, check this out. I love it. It's awesome. Reach out to us on Twitter if you have a movie that you want us to watch, a movie that you've made, a movie that you helped make. It doesn't matter.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun. It's really. You're seeing all sorts of different styles, and something I will bring up later is because, keep your eye out. There's certain people in these movies that if they were to advance in their craft or progress in acting, keep with it, I guarantee you they'd be, hitting the Hollywood. I mean, if they wanted to, they could stay in indie scene forever if they wanted to, but you could tell that they're. It almost felt like, man, maybe they have some SAG actors that have joined their films. I don't know, maybe, it was really nice. Anyways, we'll be talking a little later about Corpse, and then the which is from 2019, and then Blue Moon, which is from 2022, and I do believe Blue Moon is in some sort of festival, but I'm not sure. That was made by Matthew Thornberry, I do believe, and he actually was the main actor in that one.
Gotcha. So
Michael. Okay. Yeah. I think it was Michael. Michael. Anyways, kick this thing off with some Stranger Things.
Yes, I was going to say, I think we should dive into Stranger Things. I think this is going to be a big one. And let's just say it up front, there's going to be spoiler alerts. So
there's going to be spoiler alerts.
Yes, but like I said, I think that, if you cared, you've already seen it. So I'm just going to throw that out there, right? You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
That's actually hashtag, if you cared, you already saw it.
Yep.
You've already seen it. Already done it.
So, yeah.
You don't care.
You don't.
Yeah. And this show right here, Stranger Things, season 4 now. And it's funny, Jessica and I were thinking about it. We were like, man, we were at the apartment when this first came out,
Wow, it was that long ago, wasn't it? Yeah, it doesn't say. Yeah, okay.
And it always blows me away. And it's just another one of those things where it's like, man, how are you not, like, if I met somebody who didn't have Netflix, I'd be like, how? How are you not subscribed to Netflix? Like, this is like one of those shows that it's just like, it's a staple.
I agree.
It's phenomenal. Puts Netflix in the running. Puts Netflix on the map,
Yeah, I agree.
Season 4, we get introduced. All right, so the world's obsessed right now with a certain character. I don't know if you've seen the world going nuts over this character, but I us too, you know, Jessica and I were like, I really like this character, but you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
The leader of the Hellfire Club, Eddie Munson. Okay. Eddie Munson's okay,
yes,
awesome.
I
am.
Yeah, yeah, yes, right. I didn't realize it was that big. I didn't know.
Yeah, the That's world funny. Is like, I've seen like commas that are like, if you harm Eddie Munson, the creators of Stranger Things are going to need protection. You know, like people are getting real serious about their Eddie Munson. So, but. There is I don't want to say an issue with Stranger Things because, you know, I don't have qualms with Stranger Things. No. But they do have a way of bringing in these just lovable characters and just to kill them, you know, like Bob the Brain.
Yeah.
Alexei, the Russian. He was in season 3. He hung out with the conspiracy guy with the glasses and the
Okay, yes. And they went to the fair
together. They were having such a great time. The dude went out of like not being like a bad person. And then, you know, he died. And so you're like, no. You're like, you're doing it again. So it's like season 4, Eddie Munson, don't you freaking do it. Don't you freaking do it. Leave Eddie Munson alone. I'm like, I've never been more on board. Where I'm like, usually I'm like, people are insane. I'm like, nah, Eddie Munson was pretty damn cool. That actor is going to have a long career. He seemed to really fill the screen. He seemed to just fill that screen with a lot of fun. I saw that, you know, the main... So they had filmed Chrissy's death. Spoiler again, we did say spoilers. Anyways, yes. they had filmed Chrissy's death as like one of the first things they had filmed, and the meetup between Eddie and Chrissy in the woods when, you know, she's trying to buy drugs from him. Yeah. They have such like a great chemistry, and it's like this, like, damn it, did we forget to explore something? Like, should we have explored this like instead? But now we killed her, you know? Like,
yep, right away.
It's so funny, like what clicks afterwards, how you film it, all that kind of stuff. And they're saying that like they just put up two cameras and let them go. And it's just like, you know, Eddie, whoever that actor is, he seems very animated and very in tune with his character, I would say. It was a really great actor. That's what it came out to be. Yeah.
I mean, think about it at the very beginning when you actually first meet Eddie.
Oh, you're following him around all through the cafeteria.
That's what I'm saying. He's got the whole thing to it. So he definitely, like, going back, I'm actually thinking about that character, because I didn't see, like, I guess I don't do that much research on the show after I watch it. I enjoyed it. I don't care what anybody else says about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of
Right. So, oh, you know, I like all the, like, the, you know, the insider. Oh, did you know that this was done?
Oh.
Okay. Like, did you know? Do you know what one of TV's most expensive shots is? Do you know? I think the Pam and Jim proposal cost over $200,000 just for like the set or something like that, or $2 million or something like that. I can't remember what that.
The proposal was. It was on the rain under in the gas station.
Yes, but here's the thing: they built that set, that gas station, that had the roads and all that stuff, and the rain, all that water is all like, you know, them. So that's the thing. Like, they have this beautiful thing, and you think it's just some basic thing, and really, it's not. So, anyways, I love all that information because it's just
that's crazy.
The art of filmmaking, making things work. Anyways, blah blah blah. Eddie Munson, awesome. Like, at first, I was like, oh, man, he's kind of abrasive. He's kind of being like a douche. And then he's like doing all this stuff. I'm like, don't care. Love him. You know? He's awesome. I would be in the Hellfire Club. Speaking of the Hellfire Club, I didn't know we could name clubs, so we might have to figure out a name of a club. Corey, go ahead. What have we started undertaking here?
Yeah, so I think so. What we've been doing, you know, we've you know, Kevin has became a we've been diving into a thing, Dungeons and Dragons. You know, So we have you know, we've spent a couple of Friday nights with some friends and you know, some of our fellow people that would enjoy the game.
Adventurers,
that's a good word. Yes, exactly. So so we've been playing that, and I gotta say, it's actually it's It was one of those things. It was a questionable. You never know how it's going to be. I'm not saying.
Yeah, especially like getting everybody together. Who's gonna?
Yeah.
Who's gonna actually be into it? Who's not? Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you got to do something. And I think we got lucky with the people that we actually
are friends
play
with.
Because they, you know what I mean? Because they're actually like. I mean, they seem so far. I mean, we've only played what, two nights. So it's not like we've played like
played the first night hours. For hours. Yeah. So yeah,
for sure.
So a couple of years ago, we were at Amazon. A couple of years ago, I was like, you know, I've always wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons. I've done Warhammer fantasy. I've done Magic the Gathering. I've done, you know, all sorts of other fantasy stuff. So the natural thing is to add this to my list. Like, I can't like walk away from this life saying, "Did you play Dungeons and Dragons?" Like, no, damn it. So I bought this starter pack, and then I bought, you know, like the fun map and all that stuff. And I'm going to read all this stuff. I'm going to gain all this knowledge. And there it sat for 2+ years. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna actually read it. I'm going to do it, and then we're going to set a date, because then that forces me to do it. And we're just going to jump in, right? And that was some of the most fun I've had in a long time, just like you guys coming up with your names, the decisions you guys make, the indecision that happens. I mean, so in the starter set, it's meant for 5, and we have 6. So there is one additional mind in there that is also has a voice. So it's just fun to just have like all these different ideas and come to a conclusion of, all right, how are we going to do this? And you think like the most simple things like would be pretty quick. And then it's like, well, you guys took 20 minutes to decide on, you know, if you wanted this dude to live or not, right? Yeah. or to capture a freaking goblin or something, you know? So it was a lot of fun. And the most intimidating thing for me being that, because I wanted to be the dungeon master, I love the idea of guiding you guys through, giving you the detail, talking kind of like in voices, if I can get that good, throwing these at you. I just think that that's a lot more fun. I've played fantasy, right? I've done all that stuff, but to like control the environment and to like have this all go on, it's just fun. But the most the biggest thing causing anxiety was just like, oh, they always make it seem so complicated with the dice rolls and this and this. And it's like, man, once we played that first time, I was like, oh, yeah, I could do D20 checks. I could do all the dice checks now. Yeah. Because it's like, oh, okay. No, this all makes sense now. You work out the kinks as you're moving along. You Google the things that like didn't make sense. And now everything makes sense. So like this third time that we'll be playing, it's just going to be a smoother ran version. And we'll actually have a possible party member joining. So these dungeons are, I'm gonna have to like increase hit points on these suckers, because
absolutely, yeah,
they're gonna start getting a little too easy.
But yeah, I did, you know, I am a wizard and I just decided to destroy a bunch of goblins. Yeah,
it was sweet. It's so much fun, especially for me being on the end there. So yeah, it must have been that, hey, Stranger Things has happened. It's like, you know, Dungeons & Dragons is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And they, you know, anytime it's ever been on TV, it always looks so interesting, especially Community. So yeah. So it's like, let's just do it. And it's been so much fun. So we're going to continue doing it. And once we're done with this campaign, we're going to move on to another campaign. We'll see if everybody joins us. And eventually, yeah, we'll get into harder and harder stuff. But another thing Stranger Things related that we did, because, you know, our whole friend groups love Stranger Things, so
yes, yeah.
There's another thing that the most of us love too, is escape rooms.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. So those I'm sure they're all over. I'm sure there's plenty of Stranger Things escape rooms, but we did get a good one. We got a good one. It was rated like one of the hardest in the area, yeah, so yeah. We felt pretty good, because I don't remember the name of it, but we did beat it.
Yeah, so
we beat it.
Yeah, we did beat it. We did. So even like down to like, okay, so it was like, I think it was like an earlier role, like the room was like staged for like the earlier seasons of Stranger Things.
Yeah, with the Christmas. Yeah, the Christmas. Yeah, lights.
So it was like, so we actually, you actually, it was really fun. I mean, you played Dungeons and Dragons. Me and Jessica played, you know, she read the story and moved around. I moved around the characters in Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, this is pretty sweet. You know,
yeah,
like, this
right.
was part of the whole thing. You know, I swear we made one move and something opened up.
Right.
So I'm
right.
telling you, so you actually had to do it. So it was like fun. And then even down to the lights on the wall, you know what I mean? They give you a black light that you have to find first before you
yeah, can you gotta the find the black to find light, all that, then right? you can do all that.
Yeah, then you can read all that. So I'm like, this is fun. Like, this is actually a good time. So... So I thought that was fun. It made me want to go home and watch actually Stranger Things again. Yeah, that's it really did. And play Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah, just like yeah. it like throws yeah. it all at once. You're like, that apparently I love this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm in. I might as well just do all of this stuff. Yeah. That was a blast. There was that one had I was almost say like the most amount of clues because it felt like there were clues that just like either there were multiple clues that open up the same thing because there were different ways you could get there.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, there were some things that we didn't even finish, but we were still able to move along and get through.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting of like, you know, what, you know, there was a lot in there. And then of course there was the big lab. That we had to escape after that. So that was really cool. Yeah, it was all really cool thing. That was a fun one. That was in Medina. So
yeah, it was in Medina. Yeah. So and it was good. It was. I mean, no. It was in Mentor.
Mentor. That's right.
Yeah, it was in Mentor. Yeah.
It was an M. Mentor.
Because don't for. Yeah.
Are we recording? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, it's okay.
So yeah. That was a lot of fun. So we've been some Stranger Things fans for a long time.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I'm so pumped that we started playing Dungeons & Dragons. Because like when like the Hellfire Club comes out, you finally get to see them playing. Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah. And then like I see what like I need to do more as a Dungeon Master. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, it's so funny because I remember asking you, because we actually played our first night of D&D before... before anybody like with the Stranger Things, I think Stranger
yeah,
Things.
Yeah, it didn't even released. Air. Yeah.
Yes, I think it was released like that day or the day before.
It was that day. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah.
So we all had to work.
We haven't. Yeah, we haven't watched it yet. But then I watched it that following week, and then we played that. And then we played that following Friday. So I asked you if you've seen it yet, and you said no. You guys are gonna watch it, you know, the weekend or whatever. So I'm like, man, I really wish you would have saw this because, like,
yeah, it
would
like get even you more pumped up for D&D.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I mean. So it was like, really, it was pretty. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So
why,
fun, man? I'm telling you,
got me into it. To add to it, I've gone back and started from season one, rewatching it. Because all right, so you know, playing Dungeons and Dragons, it is just so. Interesting and thought-provoking and utilizing everything within your grasp. And that's one connection I never made between Stranger Things and Dungeons & Dragons, because when you really watch, like, they grab a baseball bat or they go to the store and they have to load up on their items that they're going to go on the dungeon. The quest for, you know what I mean? Like, so like every aspect of what they're doing is very Dungeons and Dragons related. Mm-hmm. They're asking questions, they're finding out answers, they're progressing in their adventure until they eventually get into fights. And they use the environment around them, what's around them that they can grab and utilize. So I'm like, you know, when I realized that in the season four, I'm going back and rewatching this because I feel like I have a whole different more appreciation.
That's for, true.
For,
yeah,
for
yeah.
what they're actually like I missed it. Like I just didn't. You never made the connection. But it's like you pick something up and you can use it because hey, you would have that skill. You got to roll for it. It's either a hit or you miss. You know, like
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, true. Yeah.
So uh-huh. it's you know. Can I scan this room? And you know, you scan the room and you might find something. So it's just fun to see the correlation of life, art, Dungeons and Dragons, Stranger Things, blah blah blah. Big old circle.
Yeah.
So
it is a big old circle.
I've just had a lot more fun going into Stranger Things. And then now Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like you know, we got it coming up on Friday, and I've got a lot of roles coming up. So, like, I'm getting all excited. I'm, like, writing all this stuff down. I've got something else going out to a mystery that, you know, that I'm like, I told them, I'm like, I'm writing your lines of dialogue, man. You know, like, this is going to be awesome. So, I'm fully into it. And I guess, like, when I really like something, I tend to get a little obsessive. So, yeah. Oh, that's all I want to do is I want a commitment every Friday from people, but I know that's not serious, so I back off a little
bit. Yeah.
But anyways, like season four, I feel like we haven't really even talked much about season four.
Yeah.
So season four, we've got Eleven or Jane.
Yep.
And Will Byers. Jonathan, which so they've all I think what California,
yeah, Arizona? I think it's California.
I think California. The surfer pizza dude, yeah,
that
would make sense. They're all in California. You still have the other ones in Indiana,
Hawkins, right?
Hawkins, Indiana, and then Hopper is in Russia. So, like, there's, you know, chaos ensues. Actually, so did anybody look very familiar to you in the prison or even the guard?
Wait, which one?
The guard who was trying to get him free, but then Yuri turned him in. So
what's that dude's name?
I don't know his name, but.
Yeah, what's can he you from? Tell me?
Game of Thrones. He was the man who could change faces.
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
When I saw him and I heard his voice, I'm like, I know you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not Googling this. I know you and I could figure this out. And then, like, my brain, like, just like you imagined him in long hair or something. I was like, that's it. Boom. Got it. Yep. Now I got to rewind because I don't know what you said. I just was trying to figure out who the hell you are.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So Hopper's, you know, somehow managed to, you know, when
he jumped through the portal.
Yeah,
he jumped through
and wound up in Russia, and they've been fucking with him ever since. And it's not great for him. It's not good.
No.
It's not a fun time.
He's not in a great situation, I'll tell you that.
But you do get to see a fun dynamic between Mama Byers and the conspiracy guy. He's not even a conspiracy guy. He's like a private eye or detective.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And they are very funny. When he's like, you know, icing himself after karate, and then they start talking about how old it was. That's Seinfeld, baby. You know, Kramer, man. Kramer is like, I'm the best in my class. And then they go to his class and he's fighting a bunch of like 10 year olds.
But he used it though. I gotta give him credit.
He did. He proved himself. On that
airplane. Yeah, he proved himself. That's how I'm like, except first I'm like, okay, this is gonna go terrible or well. And it went well. I'm like, I wasn't sure how it was gonna happen.
I agree. I was like, he's gonna try and something's gonna get messed up, but no. Broke and hold his own. Like, it was pretty cool to see him like play Yuri too, doing that whole thing. That was a lot of fun. Will Byers, man, I feel like Will always kind of is like in the background, you know. It's almost like, all right, so how many guys are there in the Hangover? You know, who's the main crew in the Hangover? How many are there?
There's 1, 2, 3. Well,
I mean, exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah. Will is that fourth, and it's like kind of effed up, you know, like dude's out of half the stuff because, like, I don't know why. I mean, he's a little more prominent right now, and I feel like he's going to be like revealing something to Mike in this next part. But
correct,
I feel like I'm like as I'm watching this, like season one, man, he's gone for most of it because they got to go find him. And then season two, dude's like tormented because he's got, you know, the mind flayer inside of him, hive minding him with him. Season three, I'm going to go back and rewatch it, but I feel like not much Will Byers, and this is not much Will Byers. So, but anyways, Mike flies out to go visit Elle, and that's fine because it's like splitting the party up, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
The Surfer Pizza dude, I like that guy in anything he's in.
Yeah,
is that blood?
Yeah, is that dude dead?
Yeah.
Did he die?
Oh man, what did you guys do?
Yeah,
hey, ignorance is bliss with that guy.
It is. It is. And I thought that they all did, like, so I mean, yeah, I think L, what happens to L, because L had the, you know, while actually everybody was out there visiting, she had a moment because some truths came out, you know, and she hurt somebody, you know, and like, my big thing is that was actually not my favorite part, but it set up, like, what happens with L for the rest of the season that you see from part one.
Yeah.
Is like really, it like really sets it in for me. I liked Elle's entire thing this time. I thought it was like really good of like her character line, right? You know what I mean? She still has to work on her things if she wants to use them, right? So it's not like, it's like some of those things that's not, you know, I just felt like it was like more like a real world situation. You know what I mean? They had to deal with what was going on and what's happening and then figure things out without Elle. You know, like, and I'm not saying L did everything, but L was always that muscle. L was always the one that was stepping forward. L was always that person in the entire group the entire time. So,
yeah. So season two, though, she is in the woods. Nobody even knows she's around because she's in the woods. And then trying to think, I don't think I've finished season two yet, but I know she's needed because I think they try to close the portal in that one. But in season two, yeah, she's actually with Hopper for a while, so they actually do a lot of stuff on their own, split up party, and that's where you get like the fun Dustin and Steve Harrington dynamic.
Oh,
duo.
Yeah.
So it is. But I see what you're saying. Like, you guys have to now figure it out with L without powers. And then like there's a whole nother, like, you don't have L at all.
Exactly.
And you don't even know. No. Yeah. And you don't even know if she's gonna get her powers. I really like it because they go over the Dr. Brenner thing a lot too.
Yes. So find a little bit more.
Because it's like, not just a bad man. Like, he actually didn't want that. Apparently, like, he was, like, spying on other doctors who were practicing bad things. I mean, I know overall, he's not, like, the greatest dude. I'm not trying to say, Pop of the Year award. But definitely a more in-depth view into what is going on in this situation.
Yeah.
I love, what's the name? Vecna. I love how one becomes Vecna. I love how he cons L into removing that thing from his neck, and then that frees him. So like, I was like, man, I'm gonna be honest, I was so sucked into the story and everything, I didn't even think about it, but I guess I should have, you know.
so I knew that one was that guy. So throughout, before you found
from
out
Vecna?
Not Vecna. Knew he was one because he never actually said it. So I figured out he was one.
I would agree with that. Like, I feel like that, but like the
But I'll tell you who he was when he was a child. Never in a million years did I think about that one. I never thought that kid, that, because he's the one that did it all. So I didn't think he did all that stuff. I remember where
Well, all that time, you think L had killed her way out.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn.
Yeah, that's dark. You know what I mean? But no, she actually did not do that. So it's like, okay, this is really sweet.
She freaking banishes him. Yes. She opens up a freaking gateway and then banishes him.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. That's so, I really liked, I felt like there were some people, I'm so sorry. Were you?
Well, no, you're good. You're good.
I have a habit of doing that. I try to not, But Vecna, I think I love how everything like correlates, because like you don't actually have a name for these things, but because you have these Dungeons and Dragons type of storylines where they have characters that are similar in nature, it's like you can put a name to these things. So Vecna's the villain in their game. So obviously this is Vecna, the Mind Flayer, you know, the Demigorgons, yeah. You know, it's like everything is being extracted because this is what they know. So I really love how they're like, think of Vecna as the Mind Flayer's level 5 general, right? Like that sucker.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That sucker can open up gateways, and there's a bunch of gateways open. So. Where they're going to just leak out Demigorgons and take over the world. So it's like, it's coming to like a big thing. Cause you know, Vecna isn't weak. He's going to be quite powerful.
Yeah.
Go back on the roller rink. The roller rink was one of my favorite, scenes too, just because, is that what you were like kind of getting at?
Yeah.
Like
I forgot where I was going with it. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I really liked it because not only does Elle not have her powers, but in this school she is Jane, right? Like she it's like doesn't have any of that carrying over, so she's becoming this person, but then has to be human about it. Has to suffer the frustrations just like regular folk do without power. Yeah. So like when you get super frustrated, you can't just use your power to do something or have that ultimate like knowledge of, oh, I can't use my power because that would be bad, like that overall responsibility. This is more of that primal frustration that we don't have powers, so we just get mad, you know?
Like, yeah,
you know. Yes, and she chose violence, and unfortunately, but I think every stage, everything Eleven does, she's a smart girl, so it's like. Everything she does, she learns from. So it's like just another aspect of building out a more solid foundation. I was so pumped because her little note to Mike, she's like, I've gone to become a superhero again from L, you know? Like, and I'm like, she's like, you never say love. You never write love. You always say from Mike. And it's like, so when she switched it to from Al, I'm like, yeah, stick it to him. Make him feel like crap.
Yep.
Just runs on autopilot, man. You can't put in work. I've been enjoying all of this stuff. It's been a lot of fun.
Actually a great season.
I love Steve. He's awesome, man. He's always awesome. But when he gets stuck with the kids again, he's like, come on, why am I always the babysitter? And so when he finally, like, they push it off the boat, and he's like, oh, sorry, it only takes 3 or whatever. And he's like, plops on the boat. He's like, oops, sorry, you know, I'm out. And then when they finally, like, get over to where, like, the water gate is, he's like, I'm doing it. I was a lifeguard. I was on the swim team. This is one thing I am going to do. All right. Everybody's been doing everything. Like, let Steve do something adult.
Yes.
Dude needs it. They're in a complicated place. I'll tell you that, man.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen there, you know?
Yeah. That upside down. And I love that they carry on. They got out. What's that?
They got out of the upside down.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's you're right. That's right. They had to come upside down. Yeah. I loved it. I thought that was so funny. Thank you for reminding me. They did get out, because I was thinking of when Dustin's like, they wouldn't be stupid to go.
They wouldn't.
And then they're like in the trailer, or whatever. They're like, guys, I think they went in without us. It's just everybody on that cast is phenomenal. And it's just kind of blows me away to just have like a complete rock steady cast, and then introduce new characters. I love them. Like Eddie Munson.
There it is.
Like, I don't know if you got it. All right, I know we got to move on, but You gotta look into the crazy world obsession with Eddie Munson right now.
All right, I will.
The world is like, I mean, there's people talking like Stranger Things will need personal guards to, you know, they'll need protection if they kill Eddie Munson, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, that's so funny. It's just such a really fun and fluid character, and very animated, very, a great actor. You know, he's British, obviously, you know, not American, actually. Isn't that funny?
Oh, no, I don't, I mean.
They do better Americans than we do. So, yeah.
Truth be told.
Eddie Munson, I'm excited. Don't kill him off like Bob the Brain and Alexi, though. Because Stranger Things does have a bad habit of killing some lovable characters.
You got your core, man. That's all you get. Those like, main stars.
Yeah. They're out. Sorry. Well, not today. Not you screwed up with Eddie Munson. You're changing the script now. They're like, hey, guys, we got to refilm some shit.
Yeah.
Or digitally edit Eddie in there, but... All right, but yeah, I've loved it. I love it. It's still consistently great, and I feel like they pull everything continuity wise from the first season all the way through perfectly. So I'm excited to see the rest of the season, and then I'll be patiently waiting for season 5.
Me too. I really sorry. I was thinking. I was just thinking about. Is it July 1st is when the season part 2
comes out? I feel like it is, but I can't tell you. I cannot tell you.
Sorry. I'm trying to remember what it said. But yeah, so, but because I'm ready for, yeah, like I said, like we said earlier, I mean, I'm down for 6. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. So, I mean, you know, I know 5 is going to probably be it, but if they want to squeak it out to 6, you know.
I'm here for it. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, but they're great characters. The one thing I love what they did this time too is they didn't make me fit everything in 45 minutes to like 50 minutes. We had some long episodes because we needed.
We need some long episodes.
We just needed them for like storyline purposes. That's all I mean. So like you couldn't they didn't try to like jam a bunch of stuff bunch of little things into a 45 to 50 minute thing.
Yeah,
I just think they dove in. I just think they did very well this season. I really enjoy it and I'm ready for part 2. So anyways, all right, that's my last thing I gotta say. So
very cool. Very cool. Well, at this point, we're going to shift off of Stranger Things. See you, Stranger Things. Thanks thanks for letting us talk about you for a while. For 35 minutes. 10 minutes, like 5-10 minutes over. We're going to shift off into a different type of, category here. We're slipping into some independent movies. Which are a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
So the first one that we're going to talk about is from a filmmaker called Chris the Oddity. Chris Williams. The movie is called Corpse. We'll put the website. It's on YouTube, but we'll put the link in the description. It came out in 2019. It's called Corpse. It's mostly in black and white, I'd say.
Yeah.
I
think it's all in black and white, isn't it?
I think it's all in black and white, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Me too, actually.
There's obviously some things that I'll get into, but I had a lot of fun with this movie. And one of the things in this brief moment of knowing Trevor, I was like, Trevor's a really good actor. Trevor had a really easy time saying lines or producing emotion and having this conversation, gun in his face, all that kind of stuff. And then I find out Trevor, I'm pretty sure, is Chris, the filmmaker. So not only are you a decent filmmaker, you're a decent actor. So keep on working. Okay. Keep on working. For
sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I wanted to call out my three stars that I'm like, I could see them working at their craft and going higher. It would be Trevor, which it might be Chris. I'm pretty sure the filmmaker. Mingo and Doug. Those are the character names, Mingo and Doug, were in this movie. So I thought those were like the rising stars of this movie. I thought they were the ones that were,
Absolutely.
If I were to give awards of like good job playing Doug playing the jackass. Good job, Mingo, for being the voice of reason, and good job, Trevor, for your brief moment of being having a gun held to you. The dialogue between the gunman and Trevor was definitely one of the highlights. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, wait, you're talking about the very beginning?
The very beginning. When he's just like, how do you change your voice? Like, oh, you're stalling. No, no, I'm just generally curious.
Yeah.
And then he's like, wow, you're really a nice guy.
I followed you around for the last like 2 weeks. And I think that you're a genuine nice guy.
Yeah.
So this is not personal. Yeah. I actually laughed a lot. I gotta say, I actually busted out laughing when they were going through the house. Okay.
Oh yeah, with the knives
I'm telling you,
room by room search.
I actually had to go back because I thought they said something in the one room that was might have been important. So I laughed. The first one, like, I laughed pretty good. The second one, I don't know why I laughed like that. What, dude, hysterical.
Especially when he sneezes.
Oh, dude,
They were very good group. In unison, I even said, you know, when I think it's Walt. I think the main guy was Walt. And he's just like, wait, are you guys fucking with me? And they're like all like, no, like, God, stop asking if we're fucking with you. Nobody's fucking with you. So I really enjoyed the dialogue that was going on between them and everything. The only thing I would say that there were several times that I felt like the camera just needed to move a little or just have more cuts. When it's just like that static motion of a character not talking, not really doing much, just sipping the beers or whatever. It gets like a little. Remember that scene that we had for Vigil that was the outside of my house, and we just had it on for like 10 seconds just too long to where it was like awkward in theater. You're like, we should have cut that a little bit. That's kind of like how it felt a little bit. You know, maybe make some cuts, get some different angles, maybe utter some things to himself. A little more action. I don't mean like, you know. Action. Yeah. I just made some camera movement or something. There were other scenes that had that.
It wasn't done and everything.
Right.
Sure.
It's just like certain scenes like those I tend to like, I'm like, I'm getting stiff. Like, move around a little bit. Move around a little bit. But there's tons of like camera clarity. So I felt like the camera work was really good. The scene cutting was really good. The sound was
I was gonna say.
Yeah,
yeah. The sound and there's some of the cuts that they bring back and do this. It was that whatever sound is actually it came up as like Sith something. While I was watching YouTube for some reason, the captions were up at the bottom.
Okay.
So it just said something. So and it was like ear wrenching. When I was watching it through my PC at one point, I had the volume up loud. So that's on me because I just wasn't expecting that. That's all I'm saying. So like once I turned to regular volume, but it was real loud, and it would seem like up and down too. That's why it was up loud, because like some of the audio when talking I couldn't hear, and then somebody
I think that's there could be maybe a little just bit a balance of level, you know what I mean? That's all. Maybe a longer boomstick or something else. Yeah. And then when they were yelling, it would get like real pitchy. And
100%. But don't be wrong. It was still, I mean, it didn't affect the movie necessarily, but just as points to think about.
Yeah. While trying to figure this movie out, because like you have the intro and then, you know, halfway through you're trying to figure out what this has to do, and then the body shows up, Trevor shows up, and you're like, okay.
Got it.
So then I'm like, everybody's trying to figure out who did this, and then, like, they're bickering back and forth about, you know, what we should do, and I'm like, oh, this is, it's, it's almost satirical because it's like an anti-decision movie, you know? Like,
yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of a movie called Very Bad Things, where there's like a bachelor party and they kill the hooker or something, you know? Like you got to make decisions on what to do with the body. You don't, nobody wants to go to jail, you know? Nobody wants to explain how this body showed up. So everybody just starts making all the worst decisions. and sometimes the truth is the easiest, but, I did like their twist. They had a fun the little twist and
yeah, for sure.
A pretty sadistic twist. You're like, it was the easiest decision of my life. Like,
yeah.
Damn,
wow.
Bro. He goes, that was,
like, I thought this would be, I thought you guys thought this was funny.
You're like, I thought you guys be laughing right now. And I didn't think you'd be here. Oh, what did you think?
Yeah, what is going on here? Like, this is the easiest decision I've ever
ever had to make. Yeah, like, damn, bro.
So, so, like, there was parts that, I mean, but I think that's actually, like, that's why, actually, I like the dialogue in the movie was definitely, like, I thought it was good. I laughed at multiple parts. The scene in the kitchen where they're talking about, like, they're working through stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the performances were a little stiff.
A little bit. But the dialogue I thought was fantastic. The part when I was in the kitchen and he goes, he's like, why are you emphasizing my house?
Yeah. I was just because it is your house. What does that even mean? Like,
yeah.
Wait, what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So I laughed.
Why do you have to point that out?
It was funny because at first I was like, oh, wait. I'm like, that's not the guy that shot him, though. Like, that guy didn't go shoot him because I saw that guy's face.
I talked to my uncle, and he paid a guy. You paid a guy? I didn't pay a guy.
Yeah.
I paid my uncle, and he paid a guy. You know? The easiest decision of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, what, an hour and 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So that was a good, quick movie. The only things I would say is, one of my notes here was there was great lighting and some decent camera clarity. I don't know if you filmed in black and white or if you just used it in, I'm guessing you probably just used that in post-production, but the lighting was very well done to where, like, you can switch it to black and white or film it in black and white and everything was very clear.
I had no issues with any of the lights or anything like that with it whatsoever. I mean,
yeah. I really enjoyed it. Work on that sound. Work on the cinematography a bit and polish it up. I definitely could see that going places. Polish it up.
Yeah, I agree.
Polish it up. That's it. Like I said, though, I just want to say this again. Trevor, you were here just in it so briefly, but you made an impact. You made an impact. Yeah. I thought your interaction with the dude was very funny, and you played it with such sincerity. Well, no shit. You wrote it, so you better, right?
Exactly.
And then Mingo, you always have to have your voice of reason. And I felt like he came in, you know, sometimes if you have like fresh actors, you could get like almost like these, like they're almost unsure of the line. And it just, you just never got that from these guys. So that was nice. And then Doug, I thought he just played that like idiot, A-type, I'm just going to mess with everybody type of personality. Yeah. Yep. And then when he's actually freaking out, they're like, oh, fuck you, man. He's like, no, I'm back. This is my freaking out face. You know?
Yeah. So, yes, I swear to you.
So I would say a mashup of like, not even a mashup. I don't even know what my second movie would be, but definitely gave me like Bachelor Party or, Very Bad Things vibes.
Just like, yeah.
The ultimate decision. Then, like I said, that twist. So,
well, yeah, the twist was good. I honestly didn't see any of that necessarily. You know what I mean? I didn't like that. Was not.
Oh yeah, I was just like, well, I mean, especially because like you could see like the, you know, if you move the mouse, you can see the bar moving around and see how much time is left, and you're like, well, this is gonna be a real quick resolution, like. If it is like some yeah. ulterior, like some grand design, like this would be a quick wrap up.
Yep.
But no, it made sense. And then like that yeah. dude was just like, I thought you guys would be laughing at this. I thought this was hilarious. Like,
yeah. He's going to miss.
yeah. Right.
Wait, who said Nursey?
Nursey?
Yeah.
Oh, Nursey.
Nursey. Yeah, Nursey. Like, it was Doug, right? Yeah, okay. It's yeah,
just
yeah.
nurses, you know? They're not a bunch of octopus, you know? Octopi.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. So Doug, but Doug had some parts that made me laugh.
That's what I'm saying. Like Doug, you're getting VIP.
Yeah.
Or MVP. That's it. MVP.
Boom. Most valuable player.
All right. You got any other thoughts on corpse? No. Get it? Because there's a corpse in their living room. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would freak out, man, if I woke for sure. up
there's no, yeah.
like, hanging
there's
with no my dudes, but... and I'm like, oh, what did we do? What did we do? It'd be like a hangover situation. What yeah, did seriously, we do?
Yeah. You know, what happened?
There you go. Very bad things meets hangover. Boom.
Boom.
With a twist.
yeah, with a twist. Yeah. That's so funny.
All right. So now, you want to move on to our second independent film of the evening.
Yes.
Blue Moon. Hey, I'm calling it.
Yep.
That was in unison, which goes in line with Corpse. There were several times there, like perfectly in unison, yelling together, which is funny. Anyways, we're now on to Blue Moon.
Yes, Blue Moon.
I have to say, there's two things I have to say. Because there's an MVP in this movie, too, as an actor. But, Matthew, if you're listening, your camera work is phenomenal. You definitely nail the cinematic vibe. You definitely have... if you have a cinematographer, I honestly didn't pay attention to the credits. I apologize. Whoever was the cinematographer, whatever, they captured it perfectly. Great usage of music, intro, except for the foghorn alarm thing that's like raising the building, the tension. That might have been overused a bit, and in the beginning when there was no need to be raising tensions, it got a bit much, so maybe relax on that sound a little bit.
Yeah.
The description didn't give it like a real like thrillery or sci-fi or anything like that would like or psychological thriller or anything like that would like ensue having to be constantly, tension. So constant tension. So it didn't make sense till like something clicked later on. I'm like, well, okay, I kind of get it, but like we could slow down on the the air raids are coming again.
Yeah, you're getting nervous over there, just sitting
in
your chair.
Yeah, I'm thinking the sound right now. I'm getting nervous about it. So it works. Yes, just don't do it all the time, right? Yeah. But again. Great camera work.
I'm telling you. And there were scenes like the shadow scenes on the car when he's driving. The simple scene like that, I noticed one. I'm like, that's a perfect camera view. On the hood angled to where the sunlight's going through the middle and all you see is trees. It was perfect.
Or the drone shots or the semis driving by. I mean, everything fit. We have these, you have like those images before you enter a building, right? Like you see the outside of the building, they're transitions. You almost don't. When you're watching, you never think of them, but you fit them in so that you get a feel of where you're at. That kind of stuff. And this was done perfectly. Scene changing perfectly. Audio beautiful. Yeah. Music very well done. This felt like a decent budgeted movie.
Absolutely. 100%.
And a pro at video editing because the finished version looked great. The only thing that I would suggest is trying to find. Remember, I was talking about this before. I think in the last one, that 24 frames per second. That when we watch TV, That's usually coming in about 30 frames per second. That's like like a regular.
Yeah.
Or when you're playing games, that's like a higher frames per second, just because there's a lot more action going on. Well, with movies, when you're on film or theatrical releases, you know, movies, they have like a certain speed to them.
Yeah.
And so you can pick out something that's like been filmed with a handy cam or something like that, and maybe not edit it. Not saying that this was, I'm just saying like you could pick out what's live and what's has that touch. And I feel like if you added that 24 frames per second on this, boom. This is winning some stuff. Because it was a decent film.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you know it had the view, it had the camera techniques,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's like checking out all the boxes. Like this this guy knows how to write decent dialogue in this one, and that brings me to my second thing I have to bring out is that Reverend man, the actor who plays the Reverend. You fucking knocked it out of the park, bro. You were the highlight of the movie, but you're like freaking out.
Yes. Yeah.
You're giving your sermon. My God. I was like, this guy, if he's not in SAG or if he's not an actor up and coming, get this guy in because he's killing it.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. He knew. So at first. So I really liked him from the second time I seen that man. I mean, he just his acting. When you first see anybody, you know what I mean, it's always a give and take. It's always a new character, right?
All of a sudden, you see it
that second time in the film. You're like, okay, you know what I mean. You really are playing that part very well. You know,
you have to be like separate the performance because you're like. Oh yeah, like I'm supposed to not like you. Or, yeah,
correct.
You know,
yes.
Like
yeah.
Like I care a lot. Remember that? She did her job too well because I fucking hated that character, which made me hate that fucking movie. But anyways, Blue Moon. Yeah, the Reverend man.
Yeah.
And you know what? One more little noteworthy: the hotel clerk. I fucking love that dude too.
Did you?
Yeah. I was so pumped when he walked in and I'm like, yeah, we get to see him again. That dude's awesome.
Yeah. I thought the scene at the very beginning was a little bit like awkward. But with the first time when he walks into the hotel, I thought it was a little bit awkward. But maybe that's just what you're supposed to feel though. Maybe that's the whole thing of it. I don't know. Just when he walked in the wasn't like an awkward talk. Like that's what's like.
No, it was just like a regular talk, right? Yeah.
But then it just seemed like I don't know why. But I didn't like hate the character. But at the same time, I just thought that was weird. You know, that part of it at the very beginning.
I liked his voice and everything. I thought it was funny.
That's funny. Yeah. I didn't hate him by any means. So don't take it that way. I'm just saying, like, I just you know, I mean, it just was not like it didn't stand out to me as like a great character that I loved.
Okay. I also put this as a talking point because I did want to bring this up. There's especially like indie movies or, you know, I'm sure I'm guilty of it, of like stuff we've made in the past, but of filming everything, right? So like, or like showing everything, not cutting enough. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
But the road trip montages or cutting a scene and moving on to the next location because we don't need to see you travel. We don't need to see all these things or a sped up version of that. Yeah. I loved it. Great work on that as well. Like I said, man. I did have the floating space rock and the eerie sound was real weird in the beginning because like we have no idea what the hell that's all about.
Yeah.
Nothing in the description is giving me this sci-fi weird impending doom vibe, so like this is just like I'm like whoa, and then like the title comes up of the next chapter, you're like what the fuck, like this has chapters now, and like so, and then when it comes up with the next one you're like what is this space rock, right?
Yes.
Like what is this space rock doing? And
I want to know,
and that's like where I guess like I would have like that almost critique where I was like maybe shorten the space rock up a little bit. actually, Space Rock Up is, but like that, the next, like the title cards were a little long too. Like, everything kind of hung a little bit. So, but other than that, man, that's the floating space rock just threw me off because I'm like, what the F is going on here? Like,
yeah.
Had I known, it's like this anxiety of impending doom of this funeral or of having to confront his own emotions or having to confront his past or having to see the actual truth of things. So then I would have correlated that, but it just seemed like oddly just a floating space rock with the woo. Which don't record that. I'll be charging you.
Yep, that's true. Yep. I'll say that was actually really good.
I watched way too many old sci-fi movies. But yeah, the coming to terms with his past self, acknowledging facts about himself. Oh, he's opening up to a new reality, allows himself to be a better version of himself, which allows him to, I don't need to do anything else. I could go back to my family because I have like a renewed purpose. I have a renewed, I want to be there for my kids. Not that he was there in the beginning, but he also doesn't want to stray, you know?
Yes.
So.
Yes. New way of thinking. I think it's just a new,
Another bullet point that I really enjoyed this one. I thought, product wise, this one was a really good package. But the memories and the flashbacks at the end, especially when he's driving home, were like really well done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's phenomenal. Like, good job. Like you did it right. And
that's my point to that too. So it was so well, it actually got me emotional. Like,
I actually hit you in the feels. You're like,
Yeah,
I need to go talk to my dad, damn it.
Yes, exactly. So it's kind of, it's one of those things. You're like, okay, well, all right. All right. So I'm just saying, so it made me have, like, better feelings across the entire thing. And like you said, my personal opinion on it is I did enjoy it. I had fun with it. You know what I mean? It was a good time.
Yeah. The only thing that got crazy was like when it started going like blasting with some like crazy visions and all that stuff. And I'm like, it just nothing ever came of it. So it's just like, I just didn't know if what it was, you know?
Yeah.
But besides that, I mean, everything hit. Everything was really great. I would just see about checking out like a 24, I swear it's like 23 or 24 frames per second. Check it out. See what that might do. It might just give that flow just a little better, you know?
Okay.
But I you know, that one, I'm like, when I saw that it was like in a festival, I'm like, yeah, that just makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You've worked hard on that product, sir. So yeah. And
it's good, for sure. Yeah. I think a lot of it was good.
His name is Michael, the lead character, and I'm pretty confident that is Matthew Thornbury. So Michael did a great job as well, acting and everything and holding his own. But nobody beats the Reverend, man. And if I had to give a best actor out of this evening, even matching these two movies head to head, the Reverend. That dude went all in, and it worked. It was awesome. I was generally impressed by it. So get that guy in all your movies because he'll definitely. He'll definitely
another shot at something.
I mean, yeah, something. Get that guy up in the next. Steven Spielberg movie, or maybe Martin Scorsese wants him. I don't know. I'm just here to review and critique.
Perfecto.
I don't know. I just watch movies and have thoughts on them, and if you don't like my thoughts, I don't care.
Yeah.
Never
but
have.
But we gonna tell you, though.
We're gonna tell you, because, how else are you gonna polish your product? How else are you gonna perfect your craft? How are you, this is the best I got? No, it's not. There's always something that could be done to make it better. Something that maybe you're not looking at, and we've just brought to your attention, and now you can work on that aspect. I think that was we've done the 48-hour film project a couple of times, and I've done it a whole bunch of times, and every time you learn. Okay, well, next year we're gonna work on this. Next year we're gonna work on this, because you know. You never realize how much you don't have until you start filming. You're like, ah, shit, you know, like,
oh yeah,
whether you have multiple camera setups or actual microphones or anything like that, and so it's just fun to see like the gradual process of getting better, of acknowledging like, okay, we should work on sound. Okay, maybe we should, we shouldn't let scenes hang. Maybe, you know. Don't aim for a certain runtime. Just cut it to what you think is malleable and put it out there. Whether it's short, long, gives a shit. We're here to put it on a plate and you gobble it up.
Yeah. You eat it. Might pour a little bit of water on it and eat it, but it's fine.
Yeah. I'll pour some water on some steaks. I'm a vegetarian, but I'll pour some water on some steaks.
Got to.
You got to. All right. Well, thank you for sending these movies our way. We have many more to watch and to review, so be on the lookout. Again, if you're listening and you're like, man, I want somebody to watch my movie, send it our way. We'll watch it. We'll tell you. And yeah.
All right. Yes, I agree.
What do we want to talk about for next week besides, you know, a movie or two of the independent variety? Yeah.
Well, so you know, we talked about, so there's going to be The Boys that but see, the problem is, I mean, we can always lead up to that if you want to, or...
Oh, The Boys.
Yeah, there is that new Adam Sandler film out,
Hustle. Oh, The Hustle. Hustle.
I'm just thinking that could be one that we could always throw out there. You know what I mean? To see how it is. Of course, I want to watch it because I'll probably watch it either way because it is a sports film, basketball in general. But so I will probably either way watch it. So, but we don't.
Have to we wanted to so, watch that but, one too. So, cool. I don't know, man. The Northman's on Peacock. I really want to watch The Northman. So this is awkward. We'll roll for it on Friday.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll roll for it.
All right. We'll decide on there.
All right. Unless we do like 2-hour long episodes. This one's already like way over, but
yeah.
Maybe we won't pack so much in the beginning before we get to our indies. But all right. Well, perfect. Got anything else for us?
No, man. I think we're good.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Have a good day.